Good morning, everybody. I'm Eureka John, and you're at Eureka Street Crypto, broadcasting live January 20th at 5:44 in the morning from Leander, Texas. And yep, the suburb right outside of Austin. And this is my morning show. Let me show you my quick little cartoon intro now, too. Yeah.
Welcome to Eureka Street. Everything here is DIY and a little bit janky. I mean, look at me. Seriously. Do I scream professional to you? Enjoy your time here. Take it for what it is. And have fun.
Right on. So yeah, don't forget to have fun, because that's what crypto is all about to me anyway. It's a stimulating source of activity where I get to learn about all types of new technologies, projects. There's so many experiments in government. For instance, I've seen through DAOs, the whole idea of trying out new forms of government and trying out new forms of society without actually wrecking in a society or causing war. You can switch up the rules, do some UBIs. You can change up voting systems. You can do all this through DAOs and experiment around with it without actually causing people to kill each other or anything like that. So that's one of the beauty about DAOs is that I've seen here is everybody's trying to make it a verb in different ways. And they're experimenting around in a way that we've never been able to because we're allowed to now with code and with electronic communities. And you can say, well, people's food and water and everything like that aren't at stake. So you get to try different ways of voting and different ways of participating in society and stuff like that without taking away people's livelihoods or anything like that that would entail in a full-scale revamp of society. And it would lead to war, famine, disaster, social upheaval and all types of stuff. So that's one interesting thing. If you're into philosophy and economics and stuff like that, sociology, psychology, crypto seems like it could be a good place for you, especially within the DAO space. Organizational structures. What are some different ways in which we could run organizations and societies and test it out? Through the use of DAOs. So I don't know. I just find that kind of fascinating. That type of stuff has always fascinated me, So what's your hobby? Yeah. Testing out organizational structures and DAOs and societies. I don't know. This is my morning show. I just basically talk about things that I find in crypto on a day-to-day basis. I know crypto is kind of, being stagnant in a bull market. A lot of social influencers might be dropping off right now. I'm not a social influencer. I don't feel like one anyway, even though I think Twitter tagged me as a social influencer. So, I don't even have 1,000 followers on Twitter. I don't know how I could actually be a social influencer. So, and I don't have 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So I'm not really a social influencer. I'm just some dude who turns on his camera in the morning and documents his crypto journey. So yeah, if I'm influencing you, then you probably want to find, better influences. So anyway. So it's not financial advice. It's not technical analysis. It's not educational material. It's my morning show. All right. That being said, let's go over here to the old CoinGecko and let me give it the old refresh and let's see what's going on. I don't really have a whole lot planned for this morning. It's kind of a slow news day, it is what it is, So Bitcoin is at $42,147.52. Hadn't seen much movement on Bitcoin over the past week or so. All it's done lately before that is go down. And then now it's just kind of going sideways. We went from a crabby market to a bear market going down, and then back to now it seems like a crabby market moving sideways. That's what crabs do. You know, they move sideways. They click their claws and stare at you and move sideways. So Ethereum, $3,146.71. Binance Coin, $469.45. Then we have Tether and USDC as stable coins here in the top five. And then Cardano, number six, $1.35. Solana, $137.51. XRP, 74 cents. Is anybody actually using XRP, or is this just all purely all this volume here? You know, 24-hour volume, $1,893.54 and $877. Is all this just speculation? I don't know. Are nation states actually going transferring this back and forth to each other? Are people actually using XRP for remittances? I don't know, man. Terra, 82.26. Polkadot, 24.58. The Doge, 16 cents. Avalanche, 84.97. Shiba Inu, 0.00002790. Binance USD is the stablecoin at 14. Polygon, 209. Cosmos, 39.43. Crypto.com, up to 44 cents. Let's see. Did anything else standing out to me? Let's see where Theta Network's at. It's up 3.1% in the past 7 days, 442. Yeah, nothing seems to be just like popping out being like, look at me, you know. Osmosis is still up 9.1%. That's the DEX, kind of the Uniswap style DEX on Cosmos blockchain, in case you were wondering what Osmosis is. I don't really see anything. Here's some Ecomi token up 20.2%. Not sure about that one. Secret Networks up 30.2%. Secret, the privacy-oriented cryptocurrency blockchain that helps you build other private blockchains, and it allows you to do DeFi transactions in private. It allows you to wrap things like Monero and, you know, Ethereum and stuff like that onto the Secret blockchain to do your transactions in private and prevent front running. Because what front runners are, those are people or bots that watch the blockchain, and they watch things like Uniswap, and they look for certain transactions that they can front run, which means they jump in front of the transaction, pump the price up by a whole lot, your transaction right after it, the price of the asset will go up slightly, and then they will immediately sell right behind your transaction, and they will arbitrage the difference. And so it's like it's what's called a sandwich attack, and they suck. And, Secret Network strives to prevent this because all the transactions are done trusted execution environments. They're like little black boxes. And so all the transactions are done in there, so people can't watch the blockchain in that aspect and see exactly when these transactions are going through that they can front run and stuff like that. So yeah, Secret Network helps to prevent that type of behavior. So let's go on to some news here. It looks like, I know I've been editing some podcasts on regenerative finance, and which is basically, you know, climate change and then people being able to use the climate change system to create carbon credits and all that type of stuff. Not sure how I feel about all that stuff. I think climate change, trying to curb pollution and stuff like that is a good cause. I want to help that out and to try to keep the planet clean and all that stuff. We all want that. We don't want smokestacks and, trash in the ocean and all that type of stuff. However, with every good cause, and a lot, we see this a lot with, you know, social justice and stuff like that, it gets hijacked by a lot of powers that be that want to use the good name and the good cause in order to be able to implement dictatorships and societal control. So I'm wondering about these carbon credits. You know, hopefully they'll be used in a legitimate way to help people reduce their carbon footprint and to live cleaner. But instead of being used as a tool of oppression and taxing and burdening the poor and the middle class. So I don't know, man. I'm still on the fence about this whole regenerative finance stuff. I know the people that are pushing this stuff have good hearts, and they really want to see a clean planet. I just don't want to see it be co-opted by, you know, large Microsoft style companies. I think they're making efforts to try to go around that. I'm going to do an episode on regenerative finance and stuff like that. But I still have a lot of learning to do and a lot of educating myself to do on that type of stuff. But if you want to go ahead and start, you can look at websites like terra.do, terra.do, do, you know, to do something, not to be, but to do. Work on climate change now, learn what matters, build a network of peers and experts, act on your climate solution. A lot of people say, you know, climate is a cycle. It's Mother Earth doing its thing, and we can't prevent or change climate change. That human beings have had no real effect on the climate because we're just insignificant in the large scale of things. However, we have had industrialization. We have technology, and we've managed to screw things up pretty badly. I don't know where I sit on the side of all this stuff. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm not a science denier, so I'm just, you know, trying to look at things with a critical eye, no matter what it is and no matter what I want to believe about something. I think that's important, and no matter how entrenched you may be in your beliefs, to look at all sides of it. This is one website, terra.do, that could possibly help educate you on this type of stuff. I don't know yet. I haven't really done any of this stuff. So I'm going down this rabbit hole trying to figure out where I stand on all this climate change. They're already coming up with ways to do carbon credits and to be able to allow people to use carbon as a currency and to do DeFi with it and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a whole lot of interesting stuff coming up. And here's a website called climatecrypto.xyz. That kind of it's I guess a resource space that highlights and lists a bunch of different projects that are kind of going down this rabbit hole and will help you go down the rabbit hole. Made by ClimateX Crypto in collaboration with folks at ClimaDAO and Toucan Protocol. The list is not loading right now because my internet's a little slow, but these are some things that you can explore. This is a good resource to go explore down that rabbit hole and see where you stand on it. A lot of these people say that proof of work mining is energy intensive and is destroying the planet. However, I also, personally, I see that as possible FUD, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt being spread about Bitcoin because people want proof of stake. You know, a lot of people want proof of stake and they want that to succeed and they don't like Bitcoin. They're using this whole proof of work, high energy intensive wastefulness as their excuse. But whenever you look at the big picture of it, Bitcoin only uses a fraction of the energy that something like Visa uses, you know, or the prison military industrial complex or Raytheon or Boeing or, you know, any of these large companies. You know, Bitcoin only uses a fraction of the energy that a lot of Microsoft, you know, that these companies use. So I don't know why all the antagonism and hate is coming towards Bitcoin on this stuff. So, you know, that type of stuff makes me suspicious. And Bitcoin mining is becoming greener and they're using stranded natural gas in order to be able to Bitcoin. You can't get any greener than that. you know? You know, here we have Intel set to reveal energy efficient Bitcoin mining chip, you know, so Intel, tech giant Intel, is releasing a new ultra low voltage Bitcoin mining chip, starting with a reveal at an industry conference next month. Technology giant Intel is set to enter Bitcoin mining business, starting with a reveal of a new Bitcoin mining Bonanza mine chip at this year's International Solid State Conference in February, according to a report by Tom's Hardware. For the conference itself, Intel has reportedly has a presentation prepared to outline the new Bonanza mine chip, which is described as an ultra-low energy efficient Bitcoin mining ASIC. In December, when discussing the company's gaming GPUs, GM Raja Koduri told Intel Gaming, "I think blockchain is a transaction thing that is run much more efficiently than the burning of hardware cycles," adding that this was something we are working on. According to Tom's Hardware, it is not clear yet if Intel will release the new chip to a public or if it alternative will remain embedded in a research project for now. This is not the first time that Intel has waded into the crypto world. In October, Intel announced that the upcoming company's upcoming graphics cards would not include restrictions on cryptocurrency mining in response to plans by rival NVIDIA to make its card less desirable for NVIDIA miners. Because all the gamers, they don't like the fact that the cryptocurrency people are driving up the price of the video cards to use for their mining. Because they just want to play their games, you know, like, and they want a good graphics card without, you know, having to pay out the ass for it. And, you know, that's all these miners are coming in, you know, trying to ape in and, you know, buy all the graphics cards and buying them all up and therefore jacking up the price because the demand is so high. So, yeah, Intel says, "We're not designing this project or building any features at this point that specifically targets miners. As far as actions we're taking to avoid or lock them out, it's a product that will be in the market and people will be able to buy it," said Roger Chandler, Intel Vice President and General Manager of Client Graphics Products and Solutions. Last summer, Intel also discussed in an SEC filing that it was holding nearly $800 worth of Coinbase. Wow. And I think that's got to be a typo. Interesting stuff. You know, like I'm trying to figure out where I stand on all this stuff. You know, I think that there's a lot worse things on this planet than Bitcoin mining. And so I don't know why all the sharp teeth and the claws are out against Bitcoin proof of work mining when there's so many other places that we could focus on. And Bitcoin right now is doing something good. It's helping to liberate people from the shackles of the credit system and giving people an alternative money besides what the banks are doing to us. So I don't understand why the sharp teeth and the claws are out so hard by, you know, Ethereans and by, you know, other crypto people, proof of stake enthusiasts and stuff like that, against Bitcoin and proof of work mining right now. It seems like to me that everybody should be working together. And as far as climate change and all this stuff and using carbon credits, you know, like I said, I'm not sure where I stand on it, honestly. Of course, I want the planet to be clean. You know, everybody does. But I just don't want it to be co-opted by some kind of large World Economic Forum style power that's going to sit there and try to use that to turn everybody into transhumans and to completely enslave humanity, living off of just victuals that fall from the table and, you know, eating bugs and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. You hear it from all sides and it's really confusing, and it's confusing me too. So, you know, anyway, that being said, here's another little piece of news. I saw this here. I will go over here to time.com. And I just went to the homepage because I saw some kind of little headline somewhere. And okay, so Time, you know, you go to Time magazine, just looks like a magazine site, right? Okay, there's some articles on the front, you know, there'll probably be some paywall thing pop up that's going to make me, you know, like have to pay for it and all that stuff. So, yeah, of course, you know, they need to make money too, and it's okay. Let's go over here. I managed to find, and I didn't find this by going through the homepage, but I just did a search called MetaMask Connect to Time Magazine. And because I don't know where I saw it, I think I might have seen it on Twitter. But here's a page, time.com connect crypto wallet. So it looks like Time Magazine is getting into the Web3 game. So yeah, right here, connect your wallet, connect with one of our available wallet providers below or create a new one. And two of them popped up and I just refreshed the page now and now it's doing the whole thing again. But one of them is MetaMask and the other one is Wallet Connect, which includes like Trust Wallet and a few other different types of wallets. So you can connect. Time Magazine is becoming Web3 enabled. And, you know, some people say that is for subscriptions right now. So let me go ahead and just connect my MetaMask wallet to Time and see what it's going to happen. I guess so you can buy what they're calling time pieces. And what's they're NFTs. And what's the minting process? How did Time select the artist? How many pieces are in the Build a Better Future drop? Build Back Better. Yeah, it sounds very World Economic Klaus. It sounds very Schwabian, you know, Build Back Better. Blah, blah, blah. You hear all the politicians parroting each other, parroting Klaus Schwabi. All right, so let me connect my wallet to Time Magazine and see what's going on here. Where can I buy time pieces? So let's see what's up with this. And I want to take a look at these time pieces and see what's up with these NFTs. Interesting stuff. So, wallet connected. Okay. All right. So my wallet is going to time pieces can be bought directly on the nft.time.com. Time pieces will cost 0.1 Ethereum plus minting fees. You will also be able to purchase timepieces on the secondary market via OpenSea once the initial drop is completed. All right, so let's go over here to nft.time.com. What is the minting process? Let's see what the minting process is. As this is a blind drop, each buyer will receive random timepiece from the collection that will be revealed once all the timepieces have been sold. How did Time select the artists? Time's creative director, D.W. Pine, invited 19 artists to participate in the collection, and each artist was also provided an invite to extend to an artist they respected and wished to include this initiative as well. How many pieces are in the Build a Better Future drop? Edition of one, 37, that's dual artists. Edition of one, there's 18. Time to Build a Better Future treatment edition 1-1. And then let's see here. There's 370, 450, 3,700, and then 100. So it looks like there's quite a bit, I guess, relatively speaking. But, you know, NFTs to me right now are seeming kind of like a little bit like the ICO craze of 2017. Most of these are going to be worthless. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with all this stuff, but I have a feeling a lot of this stuff is just going to fade into the distance. Long Necky Women of the Year is one of the collections. A collection by 12-year-old digital artist and our first artist in residence, Nyla Hayes, is based on Time's Women of the Year franchise. Okay, that's interesting. Long Necky Women of the Year. Okay. Nyla Hayes is a 12-year-old digital creator of the Long Necky collection, which features diverse women with elongated necks by her favorite dinosaur, the Brontosaurus. Nyla was announced as Timepiece's first artist in residence in October 2021. Our artist in residence collections allow Time to bring art onto the blockchain that marries the artist's signature style with a renowned Time franchise. Nyla's collection, Long Necky Women of the Year, was inspired by Time's franchise, Women of the Year, and includes 1,000 unique pieces of the 100 women. Each woman on the red has one red border piece and 9 white border pieces with unique backgrounds. Each will be priced at 0.125 ETH as an ode to the artist's youth. Many of the 100 women featured in this drop include Coco Chanel, Amelia Earhart, Anna Mae Wong, Ava Perón, Frida Kahlo, Billie Holiday, China Machado, Dolores Huerta, Gloria Steinem, Indira Gandhi. Okay, so a lot of women. How to mint. To enter the raffle, you must hold a timepiece, a Genesis or Inspiration, or a Time Cat plus an official PO app. No need to move your PO app to your wallet. as a new use case for POAPs right there. I always harp on that POAPs will be valuable one day. And I've even issued POAPs on this show previously when I had interviews till all the POAP hunters like sat there and yeah. And number two, enter the raffle. You need to enter the wallet address containing the qualifying pieces. Three, check the pre-sale list, check the NFT time. And then four, mint begins on November 17th. So it's already been done. So interesting. So missing pieces for registration. Yeah. So this has all been done. Looks like last November. So I'm a little late to the party. Hey guys. So, I'll connect my wallet here and just see if anything comes from it. Anyway, so yeah. That's that. I don't really have a whole lot much more today. I've noticed the shirt I'm wearing today. Hold on. Let me make sure you can see that. This shirt right here, it's Louis, baby. That's this t-shirt that was given to me. I was airdropped it, I guess, a physical merch, because I hold one of these NFTs, the Hip Hop Heads NFT. And, you know, Louis C. Rhymes is the name of the guy at Louis L-O-U-I-E-C-R-H-Y-M-E-S, Louis C. Rhymes. And he's a rapper. He's a hip-hop artist. And he is utilizing NFTs, and he's building community around his NFTs. And he hustles, man. This dude hustles like nobody else. He airdropped in real life to random holders of his NFTs. This, like a pin here, a sticker, a t-shirt. I'm like, man, dude, you know, you got to go. And his hip hop music is good. You know, I'm not just supporting this dude just because, I like the fact that he's into NFTs. I mean, that's part of it, but like, he's really trying to build a community, and his hip hop is actually really good. The dude's on it, man. So check it out, hiphopheads.io. You can, each of his NFTs have little bits and pieces of his songs. You've heard of the Louis RIP ILB collection. No, I haven't before this, you know. Smash the cypher scene and turn up the metaverse with unrivaled energy as an MC. And that's just the beginning. Hip Hop Heads, Louis' official debut album, delivered through 5,000 uniquely generated NFTs. With a twist, each one contains part of the album as an audio component with its own rarity. Each token comes with a non-exclusive commercial rights usage license for the song it plays, but holding 10 or more will unlock the license for all 10 songs on the album. That's 10 NFTs. When you think about it, though, they get the spot 0.03 ETH. That's pretty expensive for the whole album. It's more than anybody would normally pay, but you know, it has this like NFT utility. It has the community building. So you're really actually supporting the artist rather than just buying an album. So let's see here. The value doesn't stop there. Louis is building a community of artists of all kinds, rewarding collectors that bring artists to the space. These rewards will come directly from the community wallet, funded by 16% of all initial and secondary sales. So he's kind of forming a DAO in a way. The rewards will come directly from the community wallet that will be created after the initial sale sells out. Funds will be used to reward active holders and pay resident artists voted in by the community. Holders that have direct access to collaborate with resident Hip Hop Heads artists at a discount price, among other benefits further detailed in the roadmap. So yeah, you're buying more than just the music and just a record. So it's not like you're just going to your local sound exchange, you know, your local record store, and just buying a record. Which is cool, or just buying an MP3, which is dumb. You are actually buying participation in this community, participation rights, commercial rights usage, and stuff like that. Token holders will have exclusive access to Louis C. Rhymes merchant apparel, which apparently I did. Holders can download the 10 song album gated via HHH holders in his channel on the Discord server. Exclusive access to NFT and physical merch giveaways via gated HHH holders only channel in his Discord server. So yeah, that's kind of how I got that. Interesting. It's a cool project. Go to hiphopheads.io and take a gander yourself. Anyway, I'm right at 30 minutes now. I'm going to go ahead and let this episode be in the can. So I will continue to explore down this whole green energy, climate change rabbit hole and stuff like that, and really try to form my views about this regenerative finance. I want to believe in it. I do. I just have baggage when it comes to being lied to by the media and by idealists, honestly. I'm very skeptical. So I'm doing my homework, and I'm hoping that I can maybe interview somebody on this show about climate change, about regenerative finance and stuff like that, to be able to explain this to me a little better so I can really see where I stand, because I don't think that Bitcoin mining and proof of work mining is a bad thing. That's just my opinion, but I just haven't really seen anything that would like completely damn it to hell, like a lot of these people are in the Ethereum community and in the regenerative finance community are doing against Bitcoin. Like, proof of work mining has so many good things about it, that yes, it's using some energy, but so do many, 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 many other things that use a lot more energy that are terrible. And at least something really good comes out of proof of work mining. So I don't know. That's just my stance on it so far, but it may change, so I'll keep you updated. All right. Well, I will talk to you guys later, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. All right. Bye.
Thank you for making it to the end of this program. If you actually like this content, give a thumbs up. And if you want to hear more, just hit the subscribe button. I'm available on YouTube, Odyssey, and BitChute, and on all the major podcasting platforms in audio version. Spotify specifically. If you would like to follow and leave a review, that would help a lot. I am also available on Twitter at EurekaJohn1. That's EUREKA John, JOHN, and the number 1. My DMs are always open. Feel free to shoot me a message. If you would like to donate some stablecoin or Ethereum, please feel free to send it to eurekajohn.crypto or eurekajohn.eth. This will help with the gas costs for all these protocols that I mess around with. Because that gas adds up, and I ain't rich. Yet. Thanks again.